So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here. June 5th episode, guys. Les, we got a good show tonight.
That's why I'm here Tuesday, because then I know what date it is. You tell me.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be a good show, too. Uh-huh.
Well, if you're on it, it obviously is. And I'll tell you, give the address where to send the check for that.
I'll tell you who is going to be on the show tonight. It's going to make it great, though. Ring of Honor's Nigel McGuinness is going to be here, guys.
My Nigel McGuinness.
Yes, you're one of your boys.
one of my kids. Yeah, yeah. I'm. He's done a heck of a job this past couple years. I mean, he's really come into the forefront. Looking for and I'm looking forward to see their first pay per view. Honestly.
Yeah.
And and I'm just tickled that he's got a contract with them, and he's worked his butt off, and we'll talk to him more about that when we get him on the show.
Yeah, and he just got back from overseas. I believe he was in Australia until yesterday. So
was he down under? All right, I know he had done that King of Europe tournament and won that, and spent a little time in Italy, and then went to Germany, and then he actually came home. Was going to come. Called me on my cell, was going to come visit us a couple weeks ago, and I said, great, we're in North Carolina, come on down. But actually, he was coming to Cincinnati. He lives in Louisville, which is just 100 miles south of us. And,
yeah, not too far from either one of us, actually. So.
Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, he's worked his butt off, he's paid his dues, and I'm glad to see it paying off for him. So.
Yeah, there's a guy in the chat room right now, he's calling himself Jim Ross.
He is.
Yes. He says that tonight Wrestling Weekly is brought to you by Fruity Fruity. Fruity Fruity. By God, they're so fruity Skittles.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever see JR's, when he does the Skittles read over Raw?
I probably have and probably pay no attention to it, but I'm sure he's not in our chat room.
No, I'm pretty sure he's not, but Jim Ross does that every week.
If you are JR, the best of the wife, and... thanks for tuning in. Whatever. All right. And what other celebrities do we have in the chat room? GW, Mr. Bush is there.
That's about it.
Coretta Rice, no.
Guys, let's get right into the news, man.
All right.
Let's do that.
Well, first, let me get something kind of negative out of the way. I didn't know this gentleman, but Sandy Barr, who was a big fixture in the Northwestern states, Portland and Oregon and Washington State, passed away a couple of days ago. Now, I did not know Sandy.
He was Jesse and Art Barr's father, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But he's been on the scene since I can remember, I know, and was, like I say, was a big part of the wrestling scene up there. I think he also worked some in Texas, I know, in Arizona. But we never crossed paths, but he passed away this past week. And our condolences out to his family.
Absolutely. I heard, I guess they were calling it a heart attack on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm not sure his age. I did not see that listed anywhere.
I didn't either.
So I actually saw it on the... We got in last night from out of town, and it was on the Cauliflower Alley website and saw it on there. So, and they did not have an age listing. In fact, the little blurb that was on there was from... Greg Oliver's Slam Wrestling.
Ah, so, mm-hmm.
And when I say that too, I mentioned the Northwest. I'm sure that Sandy worked up in the around the Vancouver area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Oregon promoters, yeah, they usually work both sides of the border and stuff.
Yeah,
but he was really big up there in the Northwest.
I've heard that you work both sides of the street too, Doc.
Ow, Les.
Or actually, they said you swung from both sides. No,
it's too early in the show for that kind of
okay.
thing.
Okay. All right.
More negative news, I guess you want to call it. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, and his wife, Dani Garcia, announced to People magazine last week that they're separating.
Well, you know what? I just read that today, and I obviously know Dwayne. I've never met his wife. I don't know the circumstances, but, it's... the entertainment business is the entertainment business, and relationships are fragile.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be, it's not going to be the first one. And I'm sorry to hear that, because I know they've been together a long time.
They looked good together, and they made a good couple.
Since college and everything, so.
This is the most PC statement, though, that I've ever seen, probably. It says, this is the statement about their divorce. It says, while certain aspects of our relationship have changed, we are both vitally important to each other's lives. We will continue to advance and manage our business interests, our philanthropic efforts, and most importantly, the raising of our child together as a loving team. We've been fortunate enough to spend the last 17 years together as a couple and look forward to spending the rest of our lives together as best friends and business partners.
Well, good. That's great.
That's the nicest separation I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, if that's possible, I say more power to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wish them both luck.
Sure. Here's something. Scott Steiner had a trachea operation. When was it, yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
And I guess it went well, but he cannot fly for a few weeks, so I guess TNA is looking for a – he is obviously currently in San Juan, and they're looking for some – another mode of transportation, I would assume.
They're going to get a boat out there for him.
Well, I'm sure it's not like it's a desert island.
No, but it is an island.
Ships and ships that I'm sure run in and out there all the time.
There's only so many ways to get off of an island.
Yeah, honestly. Very good, Doc.
Driving's not one of them.
He probably is great in shape, and he probably won't swim, right? We can pretty much rule that out.
I would say no, he's not going to swim.
Skidoo wouldn't be part of it, so we can guess probably a cruise ship of some sort.
But, yeah, if you hadn't heard the backstory on this, TNA, they were, they were, I guess, moving forward to do a feud between Team 3D and the Steiner brothers. And,
yeah.
There was a house show in Puerto Rico on Sunday night.
Have you heard numbers? I've heard 2,500, 3,000.
No, I didn't hear any numbers on the show.
1,400 paid or 1,600 paid, so I don't know what the actual numbers are. So.
That doesn't sound very good, though.
Well, it's not, honestly, but then...
Yeah.
Particular subject, and we'll move on and talk a little bit more about Scotty. But I understand that there's still third row seats left in Nashville for Slammiversary.
Third row?
Yeah. Well, that's just
wow.
Yeah. That's what I heard today. And that when was it? 2 weeks ago, they had the tickets went on sale, and they had Tracy Brooks and whoever was there. I'm not sure. Several of the celebrities were there. And they actually only had 67 people show up at the box office. So.
That's not good.
No, it's not. But then I also hear that the ringside seats are $1.25, $125. So
wow.
I think that's a little high.
That's pretty steep, man.
Yeah. Well, it's not WrestleMania, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but it's not.
Right.
And it's the first show they've run in Nashville, and I'm not sure when. But then that also sort of speaks volumes for their television exposure in that particular area as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
could be. I don't know. But I guess even worse news was that in this match on Sunday night, Steiner took a kick to the throat from Apollo. It was a tag team match with the Steiners and Robert Roode against Jeff Jarrett and Apollo. Well, anyway, as Les had said, Steiner had the surgery on his trachea. He's still in Puerto Rico. They're going to have to find an alternate transportation for him to get back because after the surgery, you shouldn't fly.
Yeah.
It should be noted, though, according to WrestleView.com, he seemed fine after the match, but about 2 a.m. he was starting to have trouble breathing, and they rushed him to the hospital. There's no estimate on how long he's going to be out for yet, but you can better believe there's not going to be a Team 3D versus Steiner Brothers feud in the future.
No. Well, at least not anytime soon.
Right. It was scheduled to happen at Slammiversary, but yeah, you can bet that's not going to happen.
No. Well, sure, not that quickly anyway. Yeah,
absolutely.
And, well, you know, injuries have, I mean, played a big part here in the last few weeks. And then, of course, WWE is playing games. Their word of the month is concussion.
Right.
the catchword this month, let's use that. I guess they opened their creative meetings with everyone and say, let's all say concussion.
Right.
Which to me is... it's an angle that parallels life, and I, since they honestly have some people out with concussions, I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable with that. I really am.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing too. You've heard me use the words logic and paralleling real life and so forth. And then the whole thing with Van Damme and Orton. Was that, you know, when Michaels went down and they realized they assumed that's what he had, it didn't last long, right? I mean, they got him out of there.
Right.
And yet they have Van Damme rolling around with woozy eyes and then comes back for another match several days later after they've already done the, you know, he's already supposedly been given the knees to the head. And it's just, it's no logic to it, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's... I'm very uncomfortable with things. That was like when they did the thing with Big Show's father passing away. Or his
oh God,
passing.
Yeah.
I don't play with games like that. I just don't fight. I can say that's uncomfortable for me. So anyway, but yeah.
I was more, you know, I liked it a little bit better when the phrase of the month in WWE was elevated liver enzymes. Because at least that was fun to say.
Okay.
Just had to throw that in there.
Okay.
according to PW Insider, the latest edition of WWE Magazine is stating that the Vengeance pay-per-view on June 24th is going to be that advertised Night of the Champions show that Vince McMahon had discussed at the WWE shareholders meeting recently. The idea is to have all the matches on the card be championship bouts. What do you think about this?
Well, I've been involved in territories that did that on a once a year, but we did it it was sparingly. And if you stop and think, wow, when was the last time they had all their champions on the same show? Why, it was March, and it was WrestleMania.
Huh?
Am I right?
I guess I didn't.
Well, maybe they were the tag team champions. Maybe not. But I mean, no, it's not a new concept. I have no problem with the concept. I just I'm not sure that. I think they've got to the words they need to start remembering are redundant and repetitious. I see that tonight I won't be watching ECW. Because that Bobby Lashley has been dropped on his head once, too, because now he's going to wrestle three guys again tonight. It's just amazing. You know? It's like I went into a bar last night, and I challenged the entire bar, and they beat the hell out of me. So I'm going to another bar tonight and challenge the entire bar again, so they can all beat the hell out of me. It's just it's amazing. Or you can look at it and say, let's kill three of our wrestlers off at the same time and then wonder why they're not over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Let's do that then. No, I'm bored to death with.
ECW was built on repetition.
Well, I mean, it's just no. I mean, this whole how many times have you heard me say in the past, say the past 6 weeks, three ways, four. I mean, it's just here's the catchphrase: redundant, repetitious, and becomes meaningless at some point. It's like there's nothing special about it.
What do you think if they had a Night of the Champions every year, once a year?
Would
that be too much?
Yeah, no. I think, like I said, I've worked territories that did that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Southeastern Wrestling, that would have been Knoxville territory back in the 70s, which I was part of the administrative staff, I guess you want to call it, and creative and television production and so forth. We did that once a year. And, I think, you know, while we're on this subject, I finished watching today KayfabeCommentaries.com's guest booker with Kevin Sullivan, who I have worked with in that capacity when he was as a booker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I wasn't sure what I was going to see when I first watched it, but once I got into it, not only was I entertained, I recommend that any of you brilliant younger people who think that you actually invented professional wrestling and that you think you have a creative mind should watch this, because the whole story is this. It's 1984. It's the beginning of 1984. Hulk Hogan is not coming to WWF. Still the push is on here to start moving nationally. So the scenario is that Kevin can fire and hire new people to a roster. He starts that in January of 84. And then he books the chapters on the thing are, the world title, the intercontinental title, the tag team titles, and building towards a big show in December. Well, I mean, he does some, like a Madison Square Garden show. I think it's in May, mm-hmm. his first one or something. But anyway, they build towards a big show in December. And the psychology, and he tells you why he's done this. So one of what he mentions, repetitious. And finishes, he said, we're not going to have any referee bumps. We're not, and I know right now that if there's a million indie guys listening, well, how do you have a show then? If you can't have at least 10 referee bumps in 8 matches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, or TNA may be saying the same thing. how can we have a show then? But he's right. He said people are looking for winners and losers, and because somebody wins doesn't mean you're killing the guy who actually loses. You know, if both people are talented.
Unless it's squash, yeah.
Yeah, and well, sure. But and he also gives you, why he puts two guys together and who he thinks will carry the match and why. And it's if you're a student of this business, it's tremendously not only entertaining but tremendously informative. And the lost art of booking, you might call it, but I recommend it highly. I enjoyed it. Like I say, having worked with Kevin and he being a longtime personal friend, I obviously knew, a lot of the stuff. Yes, I mean, it wasn't that he was just being entertaining or anything, but and he gave reasoning and looking back and things that he thought weren't right today and things that he thought could have been done better then, mm-hmm. So it's very good. But I think, like I say, that was one of the things that he mentioned is too many things are repetitious and redundant.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come off as that. And again, that three-way Bobby Lashley's in a three-way. Yeah. Isn't he in one every show? Oh, okay. Well, then who cares?
All right.
So it's...
It seems like, they say, well, the audience, they respond to it. But a lot of these guys, WWE tickets are so expensive.
Well,
most everybody that's in the arena, it's their first time there. Yeah, they're excited to be there, but I think they would be more excited if they had a good match to watch.
Well, Kevin brought a point up, too. He said, he always thought, shouldn't the world title be changed in Paris, France, or, Barcelona, Spain?
Yeah, they used to
do
that.
It's the world title. But, mm-hmm. but his point was that house shows, that they pay no attention to house shows. It's all about TV and pay-per-views, and he would tape at some angles at house shows. He might even switch a title mm-hmm. at a house show, which... should help your that and he's right there, I think, too.
And they used to do that in the
well, yes, we did.
'90s, in the early '90s.
Well, we used to do it a lot in the '60s and the '70s.
Well, yeah,
and mm-hmm. In the early '80s. Last time he and I worked together around the territory was Knoxville in the early '80s. It's like last night. Vince, I've lost my mind, and what's your point in saying that? Why he put John Cena in a triple threat match? Oh my God! Well, John's in those all the time too. Oh, okay. Well, then it's no big deal.
Right.
But the point was, the lack of thought process in that is, didn't John just retain his title? Hadn't he beaten both these guys for his title?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have one of these guys beat him on TV? No, I don't think so.
Now, if McMahon had come out and said, I lost my mind, you are wrestling a punching bag for the title.
I watched the opening of that show, and they lost me in the first 15 minutes.
Was it me or did, I don't know why, but John Cena looked like he was going to cry. Like
well,
any moment.
No, it wasn't that, but it was, John was making a point, I wasn't having a problem with, and all of a sudden, here came Vince. And so you're trying to embarrass me. And I thought, Vince, no, but what kind of drugs are you on? He didn't mention your name.
Right.
He wasn't even probably thinking about you.
I guess that's kind
but
of the
But since
point.
You own the company, by God, we'll pretend like he was.
Right.
Because it makes no sense for you to be out here. And now Vince is the guy who's lost reality. Well, I won't totally disagree with that, except it's, I don't see it. Again, it's like, come on.
Right.
Cut me us. And then, of course, with the three-hour special, the draft's not enough. We're going to do the Vince McMahon appreciation night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some of the people in creative lost their mind. The fact that that some idiot, did I say that right? Idiot? Yes, I did.
Yes.
Booked Carlito against Torrey Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And your point. Well, it was to get heat on. It's like, come on.
At least they didn't drag it out.
Well, no, I mean, no, but it's not even that. It's like, why, you know, like she goes out there so tentative and so fearful and, no, but it's like, come on. We know it. You might as well, why don't you have her wear a sign saying this is a work?
Mm-hmm.
Because it obviously is. Don't they arrest people for things like that?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. And, I mean, it's just, did I mention ignorant, stupid? Yes, I did. It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's sophomoric, I guess is what it really is. I don't know if it's ignorant. It's sophomoric. And then somebody will say, well, why do they think all wrestling fans must be idiots? Well, they book like that. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I love, let me give a shout out to two of my guys, Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. Trevor's actually Harley's, but I've had a chance to work with Trevor in several occasions. I like these guys. I liked them when they first came up. They won the tag straps last night. I'm up with that. My only problem, and it was a good match. My problem with the match was the Hardys hobbled out. They were hurt, but Jeff was still able to get his you know, I use the word stuff, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
S-H.
His stuff in.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Which, again, is there's no L-O-G-I-C to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely walk, but yet you can do flips and flops over the top rope. What? See, I mean, they have been so much more realistic that they'd have hung in there, but they'd had and had to build it on the ground. And then JR and my favorite 50-plus virgin could have built their story around the fact that these guys can't go to the air where they're more comfortable because of their injuries.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See?
Cade and Murdoch, when they turned on the Hardys, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, it's about time.
Well, they did. I mean, it was, but see, that you can go so many ways with that.
Yeah.
And I thought that part of it was, but again, I thought, Jeff, friggin' put a lid on it. Learn a hold. Okay, I mean, you had all afternoon.
Mm.
Learn two holds. Besides your sporadic, your spastic seizure entrance, you know, take a hold. Grab an arm. I mean, it's just, again, see, there's no logic to that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Curt Schilling in the World Series with the bloody sock. You know what I'm talking about? You don't follow baseball.
No, I don't follow.
Okay, he had problems with the leg, you know, and you could see the blood seeping through his sanitary hose and his baseball uniform. And,
uh-huh.
But he wasn't, I mean, he was pitching, but he obviously was favoring that leg.
Right.
And the only time Jeff favored it was between high spots, between getting his stuff in,
mm-hmm.
S-H-I, stuff, in.
Superhero on training.
Yes, and walking to the ring. But it didn't stop him from doing goofy stuff, which it would have in real life.
Right.
You know, it's like if you worked over my left arm and the arm's bothering me, I might inadvertently, without thinking, throw a left-handed punch, but I'd only throw it once because the arm would come back to haunt me and I'd realize what I'd done.
Right.
Right?
I noticed this a lot, too, in the indies.
Please, don't talk about logic. Let's still use the word indies and logic.
You'll see the injury angle, and you'll see just what Jeff Hardy did. But, you know, I can understand if you got off one high spot during the match and was like, ow, this ain't going to work, you know, and then you go back to ground. Or if you actually hit it and suffered. But to hit it, suffer, hit another one, suffer, hit another one, suffer.
Well, yeah, yes, they over. Van Damme does a lot of that. Get up and do something heroic and then fall back down. And,
right.
And my question is, what are you selling? excuse me, Rob. What? You can't explain it to me, because if you were able to get up and do that, wouldn't you then return to your feet or try to gain the advantage again, opposed to just flopping down and laying there? Mm-hmm. You know? The other thing is, like you're talking about with the indies, I see these guys, they do these things in desperation that hurts them as well as their opponent. I see the value. I've seen people do that back in my day. Once in a lifetime, once in a great while. And then it stands out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, Doc, you've walked around, you've walked through this door three times, and I've hit you in the mouth with a baseball bat three times, and you're going to come through a fourth time. What are you, a friggin' idiot? Yes.
Right.
No, but I mean, you do this move, and it hurts you as bad as it hurts your opponent. So I see you do it two more times in the same match.
Right.
Again, I don't find you as heroic or dedicated. I find you stupid.
I can see once.
It's like, Carson Palmer, the Bengals quarterback, sends Rudy Johnson off tackle against, let's say, the Ravens, and Ray Lewis cleans his clock on three times. I think that if he sends him there the fourth time, Marvin Lewis is going to look at his offensive coordinator like he's lost his friggin' mind.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's about logic, you mm-hmm. know, or lack thereof.
Here's another thing I was saying earlier about Caden Murdock. When they turned heel on Hardy, I'd said it's about time. But the second thing that came into my head was, give them what they want, not when they're expecting it. And I think a lot of people knew that they were going to go back heel. They were just faking it, but they didn't know when, and I didn't expect it.
Well, see, it was just good. But see, that was, I don't know that it was even necessary. I mean, it was a good, solid match, and you almost had to figure going in that the Hardys had to be the underdogs, champions or not. You know, they were hurt.
Yeah, they were coming off that ladder
match.
Yeah,
and I don't even think what they did was necessary. Again, it goes back to what we're talking about, the guest booker DVD from Kayfabe Commentaries. Kevin saying, you know, just because I'm beating this guy doesn't mean he's going to kill him. You know,
right.
If it's done properly. And in this situation, the Hardys, Caden, I don't think Lance and Trevor had to do anything except win.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you realized, which is not to say they couldn't have, turned heel at some point again, but I just didn't see it was necessary at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it comes back to milking things a little bit, too. And, for that creative team, 15 seconds is a long time. I know they tease you for all of that 15 seconds, you know. But I mean, they had him as an 8-man tag and all that sort of gaga. But you know, again, I could have lived if they didn't do it last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm glad to see those guys. They've got some good tag teams now. If they'll build on it,
right?
You know, if there's the big word. But I think we can live without Vince's loss of sanity, or at least, again, it's cartoonish.
Yeah.
You know, that's like me picking up my Cincinnati Inquirer tomorrow and seeing that the CEO was in a car wreck and is in and out of consciousness, but he'll be at his desk today.
Right.
No, he won't. The board of directors will see to that.
Yeah. Jude in the chat room says, Doc, I have a question for Les. Do you think that the side Russian leg sweep is the most illogical move in wrestling?
It's the only Russian leg sweep that I've ever seen. It's the one, if he's talking about where I stand alongside you,
mm-hmm.
Grapevine your leg and shoot you back. No, I don't think that's illogical.
I don't either. I don't know why they question
it. I've seen a lot of illogical moves in it right at this moment. Please don't ask me to categorize them and break them down for you. But, I'll tell you something. When I teach, it really irks me is...
I think what he's trying to get at is, does it really work? Could you take somebody down like that? And then,
I think you could. Yeah. I think you could, yeah. There are things that are obviously illogical.
Five-knuckle shuffle.
That make no sense. Well, when I see I understand why a 7-foot guy would use a choke slam on a guy who's 5'9". When I see a guy 6'4", choke slam a guy 6'7", I don't see any value in that.
Right.
You know? The tree slam is, or whatever they call that goofy thing that Kali does. I don't see, you know. Whatever.
The worm.
That's a killer move.
The match is always over right away.
Huh?
The match is always over right away after that.
Well, yeah, but see, my point is, and I won't tell you who, but a guy who's not wrestling currently, who's a second generation. Performer told me, he said he had to fight with himself to stay there for that because he could see his father saying, "Get up, you dumbass." and I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and Scotty's a nice kid, but I think that's just totally, well, again, it's too long. Like so many things today, it's just too long drawn out. There's no rhyme or reason. I mean, it's just illogical.
It's
just
funny and stuff, and it gets the crowd into it, but it also is detrimental psychologically.
Well, sure. If you've had a good, solid match that people might have suspended their disbelief for up to that point, I can pretty well guarantee you they haven't suspended their disbelief once they see that.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So,
according to a report by PW Insider, WWE and James the Sandman Fullington are currently being sued.
I also heard that if you watch that his entrance on that particular show, that there's no visual of him making contact with anybody.
Yeah. The woman suing him, her name is Carlene Boutwell, who was alleging that Sandman committed assault and battery at her at an August 8th ECW taping in Nashville.
Maybe she's just hoping.
Maybe. According to the suit, though, Boutwell has requested a jury trial. She seeks $100,000 in damages that Sandman caused by, quote, while bleeding from a self-imposed wound to his head, grabbed her, picked her up, threw her, not only injuring her neck and aggravating pre-existing injuries, but also exposing her to blood and humiliating her. She filed the lawsuit in April.
She's not from Nashville. Where is she from? Do you remember?
No.
I know it's not Nashville. The reason I say that, when you say Boutwell, we used to wrestle in Boutwell Auditorium in Birmingham. I mean, I didn't know she was possibly from...
I don't know.
No, I don't either.
But I think this is a fan who you know, might have got pushed aside, dropped her WWE ice cream bar, got upset, and decided to make some money.
Or she was doing good drugs.
That's my take on it.
But that just seems so totally crazy. Quick story. You guys all laugh at this, but I remember it was told to me by the Grand Wizard, Ernie Roth, who's passed away. But this is when he was managing the Magnificent Maurice, whose real name was Gene Dubuque, who's also gone, and Johnny Barron. And they were hot in this territory. And when I say this territory, out of Columbus, the Al-Half territory, that would be Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, parts of Michigan. Anyway, this woman soon, I think it was Barron, for impregnating her.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And... And they had to go to court with the thing. I mean, they had proof that he hadn't, but obviously they had, you know, they had to go to court to prove that. And but she was a loony too, and mentioned that he had invited her to his apartment, and once she arrived there, that they went into the basement where he had a wrestling ring set up, and he had her lay down near the corner so he could knee drop her off the top rope because he because he loved his women tough before he had sex with her and impregnated her, right? Which I think when she got into that part of the story, which obviously, if you Ernie told me, if you'd gone to where Johnny lived, there's no possible way he could ever ring in the basement of his apartment anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, the point was, you know, when she got to that lunacy, the judge kind of lost it too, but they were able to prove that. I mean, he had motel receipts or hotel receipts from other parts of the country on the dates that she said she had had, you know, mm-hmm. had sex, consensual sex with him, and he impregnated her. So,
I feel sorry for the real father.
Well, yeah, yeah, right. You know, but I mean, things like that are just. I was telling somebody the story here a while back. Of a deal in Chattanooga with Ron Wright, who was a heel, and he and I had had a match, and I don't know why, you know, why he had so much heat on out of that particular match, it was, you know, but anyway, he got into an altercation with a fan on his way to the dressing room, mm-hmm. and we never thought any more about it, and then I left the territory, and then I was served with a subpoena. That I was also being sued.
Oh gosh!
Because I helped incite this fan into getting his clock cleaned.
Oh please!
Yeah, really. Well, see, I was part of. Back then you didn't say it, but it's true. You know, we were getting heat on purpose.
Right.
But it wasn't a audience participation thing.
Right.
It wasn't that means, hey, Doc, we want you to get so excited you're going to jump up and hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, so I got sued due to that. And
I think those kind of lawsuits have already been established that you can't win those.
Well, you know, I don't remember if we talked about when we had Ole Anderson on the show, but, you know, when the guy knifed him in Greenville, South Carolina,
yeah.
It only hit him. The guy sued Ole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ole won, but it cost him time off, and lawyers, and travel, and I mean, which, if you stop thinking about it, it's ludicrous.
It is.
He was protecting himself.
So. It's like the robbers that break into your house and then sue you for shooting them.
Yeah.
You know, I lost wages. I can't work as a robber now.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't break into other homes, so
yeah.
You need to.
Somebody actually won doing that once.
I can't believe it. Well, yes, I can. The judicial system in this country. Yes, anything to do with government and the legal process in this country. Yes,
absolutely, but that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
Coming up, man, we've got Ring of Honor's Nigel McGuinness. He's going to be with us. We've got some more news for you. We're going to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game. But right now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Irish Pete Doyle is going to be here. He's from California's Mayhem Wrestling. And he's going to be with us here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around, guys, and we'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
On total non-stop action wrestling, it's TNAWrestling.com. 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 Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. Right now on the line for Hot Topic, we've got from California. He's over there on the left coast. Irish Pete Doyle is with us here for Hot Topic this week. Pete, it's good to have you back on the show, brother.
Oh, it's great to be back, as always. Come on. Let me ask you a question, Pete, before we get into anything else. By chance, did you go to the MMA show out there this weekend?
Oh, I did not. No, thank you. I actually have a big issue with MMA shows, but I will not spend a dime on any of them live or on pay-per-view.
Wow.
Okay. I've read very, obviously Lesnar won his fight, but how decisively or if or in what kind of time, I have been unable to find out.
Oh, yeah, he beat the guy in the first round, from what I hear, in
58
or something like that, I think.
Oh, yeah? All right.
And, he just took the guy down, ground
pound. And
then
the football player they carried out, right? The kid that was a football player.
The guy used to play for USC, yeah. Well, sometimes we used to play for USC, you know. USC sucks. Sorry.
Meanwhile, back to professional wrestling. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a Notre Dame fan, come on.
So, Pete, I guess this week, here's a story that that had come up from the Wrestling Observer, but they're reporting that TNA Wrestling canceled a video shoot that was scheduled for tomorrow in Nashville. They were going to be shooting the opening for the Slammiversary pay-per-view, but they canceled that. Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter are going to be in Los Angeles, out your direction, for TV contract negotiations. Now, it remains unknown at the time what television networks Jarrett and Carter are meeting with next week. As reported before, TNA's current deal with Spike TV expires in the fall, and with the show doing slightly above the network's primetime average, likely bet is TNA will be retained on Spike. But what are your thoughts on this? I guess they're still going out, and they're still going to, take offers, I guess, which is what I'm getting at. Listen to other offers from other networks and things like that, but they've always, you know, still wanted this two-hour prime time slot, and they still haven't got it yet. You think that might be a bargaining chip?
Oh, definitely. I mean, why not? I mean, I don't care if you're on, USA like WWE used to be, or before they went to Spike. I know they are against, but, you know, you definitely have to, you know, open up the field here and go where you're going to get what you need. And for TNA to be more successful, they definitely need a bigger time slot, because everything nowadays is a two-hour time slot when it comes to pro wrestling. And to get those storylines across, especially when you have the big roster that they have, you know, a bigger time slot's definitely going to help. And for them to get it, if they want to stay on Spike, why not? Why not take, you know, a look at other networks? And even if Spike doesn't bite, if you get another network, why not? You know, it's all about going to a two-hour spot, getting that extra revenue from advertisers, and you know, beefing up your bank account so you can even compete with WWE, and not directly, but, you know, as far as the fan base goes, to sell more merchandise and with the bigger arenas, and that's going to help with a two-hour time slot.
And let me ask you, we were talking earlier, Pete, and I mentioned to Doc that in fact, it was conveyed to me today that there are still third-row seats for Slammiversary, which is this weekend, am I right, in Nashville, and, you know, that when they had their the ticket sales kickoff at the building, a couple weeks ago, and they had, you know, some of the TNA stars there, they actually only had, I think, 67 people show up for this thing. And, of course, you know, or the first thought is everybody as well, that's their home base, but, of course, they haven't been there in a while. But I'm just, I mean, that, it also kind of speaks volumes for their terms of their show saturation in that area, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it sure does. But, again, you know, I think, you know, having a one-hour time slot is part of the problem. I mean, you know, you can only get in so much in a one-hour time slot these days in pro wrestling, unfortunately. I mean, back in the day, I mean, the 70s, 2 hours was like, oh, my gosh, you get so much in because it was all matches.
Well, I remember when I did the Atlanta show with Soli, I thought, 2 hours? Are you ribbing?
Right.
Well,
you know.
And we only got that simply because of the situation with, you know, with the I'll spit it out here in a minute, the war with the Gunkel promotion down there in 73, 74, was that they, you know, their hour was on an hour behind us, and then when she went under and closed her doors, it left Turner, Channel 17, with an open hour. So they said, okay, you guys won the war, you get the hour. It wasn't actually the Georgia Championship Wrestling wanted it so much. But now everybody's of the mindset that you've got to have 2 hours. And
yeah.
I do see the value, too. But I don't know, in terms of some of the stuff that TNA's doing, if that's going to all be a plus. Now that I understand that Sanjay Dutt is becoming Gandhi.
Yeah.
okay.
And, poor Sanjay.
But now if they stretch their time out, I think I'm up for that.
Yeah, and
if they give some of their talented guys a chance to actually go out there and work some solid matches, I think that's the best thing they can do for themselves.
That leads me to a question I want to ask both of you. If they get a two-hour time slot, and it might happen, you know, that might be a bargaining chip, like I said. But if they get this two-hour time slot, do you see them slowing down the character development, having longer matches, or do you just see more junk? You know, a whole other hour of skits and parodies.
I personally think that remains to be seen. You know, the mindset at that point in time, I'm seeing more junk now than I care to see to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see the matches edited down, you see the cutaways to commercials at inopportune times, realizing this is a edited show, it's not a live show. I think that could be done better as is. Now, I'm not sure who exactly is in charge of that, but anyway, I would hope, I mean, because, you know, we're going to have Nigel on later, but I think the Ring of Honor pay-per-views are going to give you more solid wrestling action. Well, obviously, they're not going to get to the same large audience that TNA or WWE or anything like that gets to, but
right.
I think that's what TNA needs to bring to the mainstream, is not more goofiness or not more entertainment or sports entertainment, or call it whatever you like. I think they need to bring more solid wrestling. I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
Well, yeah, I totally agree, and I think the 2 hours will allow them to do that. Because of only having 1 hour, they have the goofiness in there. It's taking up the time where you could put the wrestling in. So I think with the extra hour, you know, it gives you an opportunity to still have some goofiness. You know, you got to remember who's on Creative now with Vince Russo and, you know, Jim Cornette and what have you. You know,
no,
so you're going to have that there with those
be
guys.
The first to say that none of this has got Cornette's fingerprints on it. In fact, my guess, my question to Jim, if he were on this show, would be, how many thousands of milligrams of tranquilizers are you taking before you go take that paycheck? Because he probably wouldn't go for most of this stuff. I mean, he's more about logic and stuff. No, really, I don't think he has. I wouldn't say he doesn't offer his suggestions, but I would say they for the most time fall on deaf ears from what I see.
What about Dutch Mantel? Do you think that he's, you know, a lot of these storylines have his fingerprints on them?
I would have said no 2 or 3 years ago. But I'm led to believe that they do more so now. You know that he has,
he's turned to the dark side.
Or to the goofy side, or the whatever side. I'm not sure. But you know what? And I don't mean this in any disrespect for the guys from my generation. But I think with the lack of places to work in this day and age, I think that a lot of the guys from my generation, realizing that this is it in terms of their last hoorah or the last run, call it whatever you like, are put in the position of being politicians rather than they are being creative.
You got to put money on the table.
Well, I mean, it's if I disagree here and lose a job, where do I go? Kmart?
Right.
That's the problem, I think. And I also think that a lot of decisions made today aren't about what's best for the business. It's people trying to establish themselves, reinvent the wheel to establish themselves as some kind of Svengali or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So Pete, you've got Wrestling Mayhem Academy coming up.
Yeah,
how's that going?
That's going good. You know, we're just pretty much trying to nail down our facility. We had a facility that was mediocre size, you know. Then I'm in talks right now with a gentleman who owns a fitness place where we could probably do the school and shows at the same time. So that's obviously a better way to go. So we're looking at that right now. So we've got options out there. We're still planning for, you know, July to open this up and get this rocking and rolling. We've got a great list of, students lined up who are eager to start training. And, anybody out there who also wants to join on in, if they're listening to West Coast, whatever it be, give me a holler. I did on my MySpace. We have a MySpace page, which I also put a shout-out to HWA, by the way. I hear it's a great promotion.
Used to be.
And I hear they have a great school. So if you're out in the Ohio area, you know.
Yeah,
used to
be.
But what's your MySpace? How can the fans get a hold of you for this Wrestling Academy?
Well, you go to, you know, MySpace.com and then / Mayhem Academy. And I'll just put in Mayhem Academy in the search option, and sorry about that. And our page will pop up, and you'll see some of the people already on there, and some of the people that I know from the business, and you know, it's just a small page right now, just to get things rocking and rolling. But we're getting there.
Am I to believe that you mentioned a place of limited space initially, but now are you planning on running some shows in the place where you train?
Well, that's the plan, is to get a place that's big enough to where we can, you know, do training, have a facility set up, and also do shows once we're ready. But you know, there's such a great amount of talent out here already in Southern California that while the students are training, you know, they get to see some of the local guys come and wrestle, and work their way up to the shows. You know, there's a lot of great guys out here that wrestle all over the United States that are based here in Southern California.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's something that the last couple of years that I had HWA before I sold it. That's something that actually wasn't my idea, but it was a good one, and we called it Tuesday Night Showcase. And We were set up in the gym that I had at the time, where I could put about 120 people in the place, and we ran a show every Tuesday night to give our guys obviously at least once a week opportunity, you know, to work in front of the crowd. So, I think it's a good idea.
Definitely. That's the way to do it. You know, make those guys want to get out there and get their feet wet.
Pete, we wish you good luck, my friend.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
When you get that going. We'll see you again in a few weeks for Hot Topic again, my friend.
Pete,
thank you, guys.
And if I can be of service, let me know.
I promise you I'll give you a call this week.
All right. Very good.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Irish Pete Doyle here on Wrestling Weekly, guys, for Hot Topic. Still to come, guys, Ring of Honor's Nigel McGuinness coming up. We're going to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game. We've got some more news for you. Les, during the break, they were talking about the side Russian leg sweep. Jude was talking about that. And I guess now he's clarified for me. That he says what it looks like is that you can't tell who is taking, you know, the punishment in that move.
Right.
Because they're both going down. And he said that's what he meant.
If done properly, obviously the guy you're giving it to is going to hit the deck first and absorb. You should be coming down more, not so flat, but a little behind him. And when I see it, And that's not something that I use a lot, but some of the guys that I thought did it the prettiest, and I say prettiest because it was, is once they hit the deck, they released that leg and floated over into a cover, into a pin, you know, into a cross, a cross body pin, and in that manner, it's obvious, you know, that the other guy's is absorbing the lion's share of the
I guess with that certain move, you want to sort of pull your opponent so he hits the mat first.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
throwing him back basically. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and you're following him down, and at least the illusion should be that, you know, that he's absorbing a bit of your bump as well, because you're coming down with part of you on him.
Okay.
You know? So. Which is not always the case, but that's, you know.
That's how it's supposed to be,
that's
though.
The way it was on the drawing boards, right.
Right. Over at his official website, let's get back into the news. Rob Van Dam had added a new blog entry over the weekend. He's talking about rumors on the internet and his contract status.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are there such things?
RVD had the following to say. This is a quote from his blog. It says, about the internet rumors, one thing I have to know, how can, quote-unquote, reporters put their name on reports that continually end up being bull and maintain any credibility? Always wondered that. As for how it feels reading about yourself, sometimes it's flattering, sometimes it's offensive, sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's just too silly, but too lame to be funny. Initial reports about Rob Van Dam's status were first reported earlier this year by the Pro Wrestling Torch. As reported earlier, the deal with the WWE is expected to expire later this month, and he still hasn't signed a new deal yet. Sources close to Van Dam have also stated that it shouldn't be assumed he's going to be jumping to TNA, as his departure from WWE is expected to finish on good terms, and there's still a very good chance he could return in the future.
Well, you know, if you remember, Jericho did an extension, not a long term, but as he stayed a few extra months or weeks or whatever it happened to be. Right, and then once he was gone, I mean, it was no big fanfare. He was just gone.
Right.
And then the other thing that they've also got to understand, and I don't know in terms of how successful or how productive it is, but Van Dam has a comic book store on the West Coast too.
Yes.
You know, so
Five Star Comics.
Yeah, he has another business, and I know that he and his wife are very close. From past things I've heard, read, and people I've talked to. So, maybe he wants to stay off the road for a while, even at the limited schedule of TNA, which is picking up, by the way. You know, it's not as limited as it once was. I was watching their show tonight that was taped. I left town last Thursday and got back in last night. And anyway, I was watching last week's TNA and noticed that they've got a five-day run up in New England. That short schedule isn't as short as it used to be.
No, it's not.
You know, so it's, it's hard to say what he, you know, but I mean, that's, I agree with, there's so many goofy rumors sometimes, you know.
Right. But then again, sometimes, you know, the wrestlers in their blogs or their statements, they try to turn it around on reporters, and then they're going to go ahead and do what they're, you know, what they were reported to have, were going to be doing anyway. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
You know, it's trying to switch things up a little bit, but you never know. I'm not saying
well,
Rob Van Dam's doing
and
that.
In the business, things change on a moment's notice sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, it could be I just came out of a meeting at WWE, and you call me, and I said, well, you know, they plan to do this. And when I left that meeting, that may have been the plan.
Right.
But in the ensuing 2 or 3 hours before I talked to you, that could have changed. I just don't know it, but I'll know it tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Right? So now you've posted on your website or in your sheet, unnamed sources said blah, 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 which at the time, you know, was the case.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint it. It's, you know, but there are goofy rumors, you know, that you almost realize make, you know, make no sense. And of course, I mean, in this day and age, it's, you know, with TNA basically being the only other company that you can work for on a full-time basis. Well, actually, you know, those guys are working other places too. So, but I mean, TNA is a far second. I don't mean that disrespectful way, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
But there's hardly. It's not like, well, gee, you can go to, you know, Pete's Mayhem play in LA, you know, or to HWA here or IWA Mid South because those aren't places you can make a full-time living.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's pretty much if you leave TNA, boy, they're going to WWE. If you leave WWE, boy, they're going to TNA. You know, it's kind of, it's not necessarily that you know that. It's just what you assume.
Yeah.
You know, and as you know, what how assume spelled, right?
Right. and another thing, you know, it's just sort of got me thinking that he's going to retire for a while, and I don't know if it has anything to do with Five Star Comics. In fact, and they're talking about this in the chat room right now, I did hear at one time that he had sold that comic store a couple of years ago.
I don't think so. I think he still got it.
So whether he does or not.
And let me say this. Everybody is not Ric Flair. And, again, I don't mean that disrespectful, but everybody doesn't want to wrestle till they're 60.
Right.
You know, or till they're 50.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I think Mick Foley was 32 when he started thinking about getting
well,
out.
Well, you know, I hung him up at basically 30, age 39.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I was physically out of it, but I mean, I had so many balls I was trying to juggle, you know, for television production and helping run a territory and yada yada, you know, going on. But I mean, the point was that I had at that point I had put in 20 good years, and I realized that the other guys were getting younger and bigger, and I had felt that physically. And pretty much how I had accomplished what I was going to accomplish. I wasn't going to go up from this point and, you know, be a bigger star somewhere else. And I was pretty much, you know, burnt out on changing territories
right.
at that point. So
mm-hmm.
and I had, you know, kind of settled into one area. So, you know, it wasn't forced on me. It was just something I decided that, okay, you know, did I miss it? Sure, you know, but it was self-imposed, so it wasn't like, you know, somebody forced me out and for any to continue to wrestle, but I didn't. So, you know, it's like I say, everybody doesn't want to wrestle till they're 60 or 50, so, you know, maybe and maybe, you know, crazy enough, he might have thought that whole ECW thing was it. That was the ultimate, the utmost, the end, you know.
Right.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about that. When ECW folded, I lost a student here, a kid who had come here from Oregon or Washington State, I forget which now. And at first I thought it was a rib, but he came into my office and he said, "Well, Les, I'm quitting." And I said, "Why?"
He didn't want to wrestle anymore?
No.
Okay.
Because he couldn't be in ECW.
Wow.
That was just all he wanted. Right, was ECW. He didn't care about wrestling for WWE or WCW or anybody else.
Did that make you mad?
Did it make me mad?
Yeah.
No. At first, I thought, like I say, at first, I just laughed. I said, "Yeah, sure, okay." No. He said, "I'm serious." And I said, "What?" You know. Well, see, I don't have sexual fantasies about hardcore. I'm very comfortable in my skin as to my sexual orientation, so I don't need to slice and dice myself, go through barbed wire tables, or sundry other stupid things like that. And I mean, that's cool if that's what you want to do, but I couldn't understand why a kid would walk away from something he had crossed the continent for, you know, to pursue, and because Paul E. decided to close the company.
Right.
It just didn't make any sense. But you know, to him, I mean, he was serious. You know, that was it. Hey, it's over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's another goofy story, and a lot of people are talking about this week, and this is like the biggest, the most talked about stare down that's ever happened. And this happened.
Cena and Killings.
It was John Cena and Ron the Truth Killings, and it was this past Monday, the 28th, in the Charlotte Douglas International Airport.
Yeah, I heard about it.
So I guess the story goes that Killings had, been making some negative comments about Cena during some TNA promos that were on YouTube, and they had walked into each other at the airport. They had a stare down, and they both walked away, and nothing really happened. But now there's all this talk on the internet about it. Ron Killings had put a statement in his official MySpace page, pretty much running down Cena. But I'll read you some of this, but I'm not going to use the exact words he did.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
It says, John Cena didn't approach me, Ron Killings, about anything at the airport. In fact, this is the second run-in we've had. First one was kind of a calling us bluff type thing, even trying to communicate with him to see what's up with what I've been hearing. Also, all the interviews he did supposedly calling me out. Big mistake. Then he leaves voice messages on my cell phone talking about battling me and thrashing my butt. Not to mention, people he's done interviews with tell me John Cena wanted us to call you so he could battle you. And I'm assuming he's talking about rap battling. John Cena does do that. He says, man, please. He did what he should have done, and that's nothing. I wish he would try to play that battle rap stuff with me. I'll eat his butt alive, spit and poop out the pieces I don't like. Just like I told him, he's a punk rap wannabe me. That was heavily edited, by the way.
Okay. well, you know what? I don't do beatbox or rap, so I'm not calling anybody out. But, you know,
what can you say when two guys like this are going at each other in the press?
I think it's silly. That's what I say. I can't speak for anybody else, but I think it's silly.
But if these two...
Well, it's not... I mean, the point is not going anyplace, you know, and uh-huh. Here's something else. You know, let me say this. Have I ever seen two guys legitimately go at it one another? Yes. But and it wouldn't be in a ring. And for them to do that in the airport or someplace, it would just be stupid. They would get them both and try. I don't care how big a star John is. If he happened to get his butt handed to him, how would that look in the company, you know, that he works for, or vice versa, for Killings, for that matter?
Right.
You know, but it's just, that's totally unprofessional.
If they had gotten in a fight in the airport, do you think it would bring up interest in wrestling in the general public? That two wrestlers got
no. I think it would. A lot of people in the general public and the press would say, "Okay, we assumed they were Neanderthals, and now they've proved our point."
But what if two UFC fighters got in a fight in the airport?
Well, you know what? I think the guy, what was his name, Porter, that was a linebacker with Pittsburgh with the Steelers, got into one of the Bengal defensive linemen in Vegas a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a couple guys held him while Porter popped him. you know what? I don't know Ron Porter. I'm sure he seems, what I've watched of him, he seems like a hell of a competitor and very, you know, passionate about what he does. But to me, that was like, okay, what's your point? You know, this is not about which one of you guys is a badass. It's about who's the best football, you know, the best football team. And the team is made up of 22 guys. Well, actually, more than that, but you get my point. So, you know, none of this is really matters, you know. And, again, I'm not going to get into specifics here, but a week or so ago, some indie guys who I know, actually, they were in a tag match and that broke down. And the four guys went at each other and it spilled wrestle outside, and other guys come out to break it up, and they, you know, they start pot shotting each other and throwing chairs. And it's total, please spell this properly, capital B, period, capital S, period. And totally unprofessional. And had that have happened when I, in my company, they would have been out of work. You know, and my point would have been, you guys want to take it outside, go. But you don't do it in front of my crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. It's totally unprofessional. If Killings is, you know what? I know John well. I know Ron. Ron was supposed to come here at one point when I was with WCW.
Oh.
Yeah. Or was it with WWE? I don't remember. Anyway, when he was supposed to end up here with me when I was in one of the two companies, and he didn't. I don't have a problem with either one of those guys. My problem would be is, guys, it's totally unprofessional. What's your point? What are you proving?
Maybe they should just rap battle and get it over with.
Well, you know, and that's cool, too. I watched 8 Mile. That was cool. I was into that.
You know, when I was in school, and this was in the 80s, in the late 80s, I went to a school, you know, I lived in a bad neighborhood. I grew up in a bad neighborhood, but... at the school, these guys, instead of...
You live in a bad town. What are you talking about?
That's true. instead of fighting, a lot of these guys would come up, and they would have rap battles in the hallway, or they would have, you know, their cardboard, and they would have breakdancing thing, just like, you know, just like in the movies, and you think
well,
it's corny
I'm
and
sitting
stuff.
Here trying to make a mental picture of the two of them doing spinneroonies in the middle of the Charlotte airport. I just... It
that
doesn't
would be
work
funny.
For me for some reason. I don't know.
That would rule. They should just kick it, you know, elementary old school style like we used to and just break out the cardboard and see who's the better dancer.
Okay.
That's what I say.
Well, I don't think either promotion was going to let that happen, but hey, what do I know?
No, because whoever loses, you know, it's going to look bad for whoever the company is, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. But like I say, I just these things, well, it's, you know what, I've known Ric Flair well since he broke into business all virtually, and I've known, and Mick Foley's a personal friend as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have no beef with either guy, and that whole public display between the two of them, I hated to see.
Mm-hmm.
Other professional differences, yes, you know. Or when I read that Lindsay Lohan is mad at Britney Spears or whoever, you know. So
right.
It's like, why, you know, come on. You know,
people aren't going to get along.
How do we settle this? Well, I don't know. I think maybe I'll go out and sell more tickets to the more movies, or I'll sell more DVDs
mm-hmm.
or CDs. You know, that's how I'll prove I'm better.
Right.
You know, so it's just it's I don't know if it's childish, but it's not real professional. I don't think.
We got a couple good emails this week, Les.
We did. We got one from Portugal.
Yes, we did. I'm going to get to that one in a minute.
And if he's listening, Ryu?
Ryu, I think it is.
Yeah, okay. And Ryu, if I'm mispronouncing it, please forgive me, because I'm not good at languages. He is a radio journalist and a producer of shows in Portugal, and was involved with TNA coming over there, and actually was doing a talk show of his own. And... he sent me an email, and he said he enjoyed, he felt he learned from the show, and our show, and Dave Meltzer's, he said, were the two shows that were, you know, the ones that he listened to the most. So
yeah, he said, I was approached by my boss to produce a radio podcast about wrestling about a year and a half ago. I started looking for wrestling radio shows from the United States. Your show and Dave Meltzer's show are the ones I most listen to. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm up. You know,
anytime they can mention our show and Dave Meltzer's show,
it never ceases to amaze me that we get email. We've gotten emails from Denmark, Iceland, Portugal. England.
Mm-hmm.
England's almost like next door compared to the other countries, right? But I mean, I'm just amazed by that. But of course, you know, I'm glad that. I mean, you know, that if we're informative, I'm glad we're informative.
We're worldwide, baby.
All right, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. But
another email that came in this week. It said, I really love listening to the Wrestling Weekly's archives when you have some old school wrestlers on as guests. I've been a fan of wrestling since I was 10 years old when I went to my first match in Huntsville, Alabama in 1965. That's right. I'm an old fan. I'm 52, he says.
Yeah, that's before I was going to say. The first time I wrestled in Huntsville was 68 or 69.
Yeah. So I think I know some good stuff when I see and hear it. Keep up the good work and try to get as many old school territory wrestlers on as guests as you can.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead, Les, and go to the pay-per-view prediction game.
Okay.
Now,
you're just so excited about that, you must have won. I don't know, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, this of course, this was from Sunday's pay-per-view, WWE pay-per-view.
Right.
You and I, we're going to do this quickly, and we're going to get Nigel on.
I did not watch this pay-per-view, but I understand it wasn't bad, but it wasn't something that you might want to drop 4-0 for either, so I don't know.
I don't know. I heard it was okay. I didn't see it, of course. Although I was, you know, I was really upset to miss the pudding match. It's not every day
well,
you get to see
you know,
one.
Me too. I mean, that was that was what would buy $40 would have been spent for.
But you and I had pretty much picked all the same people to win, except for the pudding match, of course. So let's go down through it. Mark Henry did defeat Kane. We both went with Kane on this one.
Okay.
RVD defeated Randy Orton. We both went with Randy Orton on this one.
Well, you know what? Of course, the story there is they figured that all the internet people were aware of that. But I guess in the arena, from what I'm hearing, is that the people, the fact that RVD won, it wasn't a big thing one way or the other. It's,
really?
You know. But then, you know, there's something that I think a lot of people don't take into account. The people who listen to our show aren't necessarily your average wrestling fan either, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, a lot of them people are casual fans.
Yeah.
And they're just happy to be there. They don't, you know, study the inside and who's, you know, contract is going to be up and things like that. But, yeah, they try to swerve the internet is the story that's going around. And you know what? I say good. Swerve me. I want to be surprised. And
thank you.
This was a surprise. RVD defeated Randy Orton.
Right.
CM Punk, Sandman, and Tommy Dreamer defeated the New Breed. We both went with the New Breed on that. The Hardys beat Haas and Benjamin, the world's greatest tag team.
That may have been the only one we picked, right?
So far. We went with the Hardys on this one.
Yeah.
There was a question in the chat room earlier about this, though. Now that Haas and Benjamin had showed their stuff in this ladder match, one of the listeners was asking if you think that they should get more TV time now.
I thought when they popped those guys with Angle as the world's greatest tag team, which I think, don't get me wrong, it has nothing to do with Charlie or Sheldon. It's just a stupid name. It's not there. I mean, it's not about them. It's about, I don't care who you tag with it. It seems, you know, pretty pretentious. But anyway, I think there's a good, there's a good depth on their tag team. And WWF/WWE. Has never been. They've had tag team champions, but they've always been like an afterthought,
filler.
And I think that's it helps support your card. So yeah, I think with Cade Murdoch and the Hardys and Charlie and Sheldon, both those guys, Sheldon. Probably a better amateur wrestler than Charlie, but I mean, Sheldon's a great athlete. I mean, I had the opportunity to work with him, around him, watch him when, you know, in OVW, and I mean, I think if Sheldon decided to play baseball, he'd play baseball. If he decided, you know, I mean, he's just a hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
So, if I never see another ladder match, I'll be cool. No, I just,
at least for a couple of years, maybe.
Well, you know what? You're putting a lot of guys at risk, and it's just
this is true.
And I'm not sure who gets off on it. And again, if you've got good wrestling talent, you don't need all that. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. It's, you know, I'm not saying that promoters during my era of 60 to 80, as an active wrestler, didn't do silly things, didn't do off the wall things, didn't do things to try to jumpstart their promotion or because they did. But then overall it was more about what was good for the industry, which I don't mean that Mr. Crockett in Charlotte was superly concerned with what happened with Mr. Muchnick in St. Louis, or Doc Sopolis in Amarillo or whatever. But it was more about, you know, and it's gotten away from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what's good for the industry. It's what's good for me. I'll reinvent the wheel, and you'll think I'm a genius. No, I just think you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're wasting your time and mine, too. And it's kind of, I mean, it's like gimmick matches and three-ways and quadruples, this and that. It's just, it's like, okay, who cares?
Overkill.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's an old saying, and it's an old saying, but it's the most, should be the most listened to old saying in our business, and that is, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
The less you do these things, the more effective they are.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind if they had something like this once a year.
Well, you know,
just
have wrestling matches. There's a clever. You know, when I was watching TNA, and don't get me, Travis Tomko was in the last week-long invitational tryout camp that Dr. Tom and I ran here in Cincinnati in 2002. And I don't know why it crossed my mind, but I think he's got on wrestling shoes and wrestling trunks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not big on tats because I'm not big on needles. I don't have any. I don't want any.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a nice guy, and I like Tomko. He's dressed like a wrestler.
Yeah.
No kick pads. His trunks were decorated, but they were trunks.
Right.
They weren't goofy baggy shorts. They weren't. And when I say goofy baggy, it's just, you know, it's just so much. Everybody's trying to hide. I don't know if they're trying to hide the fact they can't wrestle. Or what? But I think so much is about, there's too much about the pageantry and too much about the fluff. You know, it's not about the steak; it's more about the sizzle. And I think we need to revert back to the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So,
moving on with the card, Edge defeated Batista.
Uh-huh.
We pretty much guessed that one. Lashley defeated McMahon. That was a gimme. We both went with Lashley on that. Cena defeated Kali. There was no question on that one. And it all came down, my friend, to the big pudding match between Candice Michelle and Melina. You went with Melina, my friend, and I went with Michelle. Yeah.
And who won?
That would be me, my friend.
Oh, okay. Well, so then you're the man.
I got
well,
you
see,
by
you're,
one
you're
point.
A more an expert at those things
yes.
than I am.
See,
I mean, I can count the pudding matches I've seen on no hands. I've never seen one. So
see,
there you go.
I had just figured, you know, this was going to be a close
game.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you've haunted more gentlemen's clubs than in your short lifespan than I ever would have been living twice as long.
See, it all comes down to experience, and I've had more experience in watching pudding matches.
Well, see, I the funny thing was I never had problems getting dates, Doc, so I didn't need to go to all these gentlemen's clubs. It's amazing when your social life isn't bad.
What are you trying to say?
But when you don't have to sit and fantasize when you can actually participate in it. It's an amazing thing.
Guys, we've got Nigel McGuinness coming up here on Wrestling Weekly. Going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this with our main event, I guess.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brooklyn! Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Here's the latest news and information.
information on total nonstop action wrestling, it's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Wrestling-Radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-Radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, our featured guest. He's from Ring of Honor, and he's tearing up the indies. Nigel McGuinness is here with us, guys. Nigel, I want to thank you for being on the show this week.
That's all right, Doc. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. You know what? I was just thinking, too, Doc was getting you on the line. I said, here was this nice English exchange student that came to my school a number of years ago, and I could call him, now I have to call him King, because now you're the king of Europe, man. You won that tournament.
Yeah, well, it's about time, man. It's about time. Got some credit. Yeah, it was a good old deal, actually. I'll tell you what, I was a bit cautious about going in there. You know, I didn't know how it would draw and how it would be received and stuff like that. And they didn't draw the houses at Ring of Honor happen over there, but be honest with you, the houses they did draw were just as into it, you know what I mean? And the fans were really into all the matches. The first night I was in there with Rhino, and I tell you what, you got a lot of those guys who are in TNA or on TV or whatever else, and they take these independent bookings, and they come in, they get the big money, and they just sort of phone it in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Rhino did exactly the opposite. He went out there and tore the house down. I tell you what, he managed to get a good match out of me, and that's...
Yeah, I remember you telling me that you were so excited that he had done such a great job for you, and of course that speaks highly of him. You know, just this, this past year, but I mean, visually in terms of the business, have just been so elevated. I mean, you worked with Kenta, Marufuji, Noah, Ring. I mean, you've been in England, Australia, Italy, Germany. Let me ask you, when you first came to me to start your train, did you expect this? Or, I mean, is this wow, this is icing on the cake for you. What's the deal?
Yeah, I don't know if I really had any great expectations at that point. I wasn't really aware there was much of a wrestling world. I think outside of WWE and ECW and WCW at the time, you know, I didn't know there was much wrestling. I certainly didn't know there was wrestling in England and Europe. Anywhere else to go, you know, so it sort of has come along as I progress in the wrestling business, and thank God it has, because otherwise I wouldn't be wrestling anywhere, because WWE and TNA don't seem too interested.
You and I have talked about this in the past, and I'm amazed that, you know, and I know living in Louisville, you've had the opportunity to train at Ohio Valley and work out with the guys there, and of course when you were with me, they got a chance to look at you here in Cincy. TNA has, contacted me to have you send them resume and tape and what had. But now you've got a deal, a multi-year deal with Ring of Honor. Of course, their pay-per-view audience isn't going to be as vast as either TNA or WWE, but you're going to be exposed to, I think, a lot of new wrestling fans. And we had discussed maybe this is a more comfortable fit for you because the political atmosphere is not as intense or as important as it might be in the other two companies.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I feel in Ring of Honor, especially talking, you know, I talked to various people over the last few weeks that work for both of those companies. And, you know, without mentioning any names, you know, they certainly expressed a distaste for the political sentiment that exists in both companies and how a lot of the people don't really feel comfortable there and really feel as though they're able to enjoy the job. But in a lot of situations, it's the sort of dream job that they've always wanted since they're 12 years old, and then they get there and all of a sudden they're just it's not what it's all cracked up to be, you know. And obviously, I never watched Ring of Honor when I was 12 years old, and there never was a Ring of Honor. But I almost feel as though I'm achieving my dream in the wrestling business, even though it's not exactly the dream as I expected. And, you know, it's a good family environment there, and I trust everybody. And I, you know, like I said, I haven't really worked for WWE or TNA hardly at all, but I do get the feeling that Ring of Honor, you know, your progression and how you're pushed is more dependent on your talent and your ability and your hard work than it is in the other two companies.
Well, you know, as a young guy who's grinding out a living in the business now, and you've obviously paid your dues, we were discussing the fact that WWE has talked about, you know, opening some territories universally, I guess you'd say, you know, in Europe and Mexico and so forth and so on. But they're looking at athletes in England, but they're actually wanting people with no experience, and that has got to be frustrating to a guy like yourself who has dedicated himself to perfecting his craft.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I don't think it's too dissimilar to the situation of a lot of guys like Benoit and Guerrero, Malenko, guys like that for a long time didn't have a shot of getting into WWE because of a certain mentality there. But in time, that changed and they got a shot because of various different factors. Now, I mean, they were happy because I guess they made money in Japan and Mexico and stuff like that. They probably didn't want to have to go overseas as much as they did, but nonetheless, they still got to do what they wanted and earn a decent living and get to travel and see the world. And I kind of see myself in the same situation town, you know. I mean, like I said, if it wasn't for Ring of Honor, I'd be a lot more frustrated and a lot more upset about that fact than I actually am. But, you know, I mean, I'm not getting rich in Ring of Honor, but I'm also paying the bills and I can save a little bit of money here and there, which is really all you need in life, you know. I don't need a lot of money to be happy. If I'm not a millionaire by the time I reach 45 years old, it's not the end of the world, you know what I mean?
Well, you and here's, I think, the great thing for you, too, and a lot of these people listening may not know, but you've got a degree in chemistry, so you've got something to fall back on. I mean, if, you know, God forbid something were to happen physically, or you were just to burn out, you know, on the travel and the rigors of the business, you have something that you can go back and make a substantial living at if you need to.
Well, I mean, the truth is I could probably be making more in chemistry after a year than I have been doing in after, like, 7 years of beating myself to death in wrestling, you know what I mean? But it always comes back to what you want to do with your life and what you have passion for. And I don't have any passion for chemistry. But like you say, God forbid something does go wrong, there's always something to fall back on.
Nigel, I have a question for you.
Sure.
A lot of people don't know this, but you were, of course, trained by Les, and a lot of people know that already, especially if they listen to the show. But another one of the guys that trained you back in England, back home, was a guy who showed up on WWE's Raw a few weeks back when they were in Europe, and that was Robbie Brookside, right?
Right, yeah, he did have a hand. He was good enough to get in the ring with me a few times. I wrestled him a couple of times over there, which obviously was the best experience from somebody. But more than anything, he has like one of the biggest collections of old-school British wrestling on video that exists, and he was good enough to lend me a few of those tapes when I was over there, and I picked up a lot of things just from watching those tapes and studying, you know, the guys that don't wrestle anymore, but, you know, were some of the best at the time.
What are your impressions of Robbie? Like, when I first saw him, and I'd heard the name before because I knew that he was one of the guys that you said, you know, had a hand in training you. Mm-hmm. So when I saw him on TV, I was like, that was the guy that helped train Nigel.
Right.
But he looks like he's like 23 years old or something like that, but he's really not.
Well, I'm sure he'd be very glad to hear, though, that he looks like he's 23.
He looked like a fresh, you know, fresh face, baby face, you know, looked really
cool,
young.
So, yeah, absolutely. No, that's good. That's good. Good for him because he's got a few years on me. I don't know whether you were aware of it or not, but he's actually had a big hand in helping Regal progress as well. He was Regal's tag team partner for a long time and, you know, helped him learn a lot of the aspects of the business that, you know, got Regal to the stage of working where he was when he first came to the States, you know.
So let me ask you, were you at the pay-per-view? The Ring of Honor pay-per-view, the taping?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. I didn't see nobody ever gave me you know, a match lineup or
who was
going to
be on pay-per-view. Now, let me ask you, did that have a different feel for you knowing that particular match was going to be on pay-per-view? Did you feel that you got more emotionally up for that than you had for just a normal Ring of Honor show?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely there in the back of my mind. I remember the day before, actually, where normally I'd be joking around with the and having a good laugh, et cetera, et cetera. The day before, I was really already had my game face on, you know what I mean? I wasn't joking around. I was
sure
thinking about ideas and stuff like that. But it was actually a little bit more difficult because I was pretty banged up at the time going in there. I had a partially herniated disc in my back from a week earlier, and my shoulder was separated as well. So I was pretty beat up, and I was a little bit worried I was going to go out there and not be able to give it 100%, obviously, in the most important match in Ring of Honor history.
Yeah, that's right, because the night before they made that announcement at the Ring of Honor show that you were not going to wrestle because of the injury, and, of course, Gabe was holding you out to give you the best shot at the pay-per-view thing, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, I felt terrible about it, you know what I mean, especially when I went out there to sign autographs and stuff, and, you know, people came up to me and said, oh, good luck tonight, and, you know, we came all this way to see you, and obviously you feel terrible because they're paying a lot of money, driving a long way to see you. But, you know, that was a call that was kind of taken out of my hands, and they said, you know, if you are injured and you think you're going to risk getting a lot more injured for tomorrow, then, you know, do the right thing for the company and the pay-per-view and, you know, take the day off today. So I did it, and, you know, I felt kind of bad sitting there and watching the main event, but BJ took my spot, and I think he did a great job in it.
BJ, I mean, this is a great opportunity for him, too. You know what I was going to ask? You and last time I think you and I talked, you were going to have an MRI about the back. What's the prognosis?
Yeah, pretty much what I said before in terms of partial separation of the shoulder and bursitis in the shoulder and then the partially herniated disc in the back. And they could see from the MRI that the one side of my back was spasming and pulling my spine out of alignment, so it wasn't straight anymore. So when the doctor called me and gave me the results, and I said, okay, what does this mean? What do I need to do? He said, basically, well, an injection in the shoulder, which I assume would be cortisone or something like that, to get the inflammation down and let it heal. And he said, with the back, you need, rehab and therapy and at least 6 weeks of rest. And then I said to him, well, you know, what about if I'm not in that much pain? Because to be perfectly honest with you, I've been stretching, I've been doing a lot of different exercises for my back and shoulder to try and keep them mobile and keep them healthy. And there's not too much pain at the moment, you know what I mean? It's a little bit annoying, but it's certainly nothing that would keep me out of the ring. And I wrestled this past weekend in Australia with both of the injuries, and they seem to be okay. And when I told the doctor that, he said, oh, well, if it's not in too much pain, then, you know, we can hold off all the other stuff and just take a leave and see how it does with time, you know? I mean, obviously, I didn't tell him too much about the wrestling, so he doesn't have that information, but I've had a lot worse injuries, to be honest with you, in terms of pain at least. It's just nagging, you know what I mean? I hope it's not one of those things that every time I wrestle a big match comes back and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and so I'm forced to take some time off, but we'll see.
All right. Back in March, and we had Johnny Fairplay on the show a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah.
And he had told me off the air about the thing that aired on VH1's Where Are They Now? It was a match between you and Chris Hero. And Chris had Larry Sweeney and Johnny Fairplay out on ringside. And he had said that he had told you he didn't want you to, you know, he wanted you to really nail him when you got him. And you kind of didn't want to. And then you did, and he ended up with a concussion. Did you feel bad about that?
No. I remember the situation a little differently.
Okay.
Obviously. I don't remember him ever telling me to nail him. In actual fact, I remember him telling me to not kill him and telling me a couple of instances with other wrestlers where they killed him. Probably because he could see a lot of the wrestlers coming up to me at various points before the show, kind of giving me an inkling that I should really lay that clothesline in. But if he got concussed, then I guess that's good for the business, right? You know?
Sure.
You know, sells tickets and stuff like that.
It looked good on TV.
Huh?
It looked good on TV.
Yeah, it looked good on TV, and that's what it's all about. I mean, that's off him for getting in there and getting involved, getting stuck in. You know, he didn't have to do that, and so, you know, maybe he'll think twice about getting involved with McGinnis next time.
he's not the most imposing physical specimen you ever worked with anyway.
Right, right.
A lot of people, you know, have questions about the iron gimmick.
Yeah.
That you had. What exactly is the origin of that?
Man, the truth is, I was dating a girl, actually, Les will probably remember the girl. I knew her up at Kent State, and she came down for one of the last couple of matches that I had before I went back to England for a year. I was visiting her in Boston, watching Monday Night Raw, and her mother was quite upper class, good stock, as you say, and we were watching Raw, and someone ran into the ring with a gimmick. I don't know if it was Jim Duggan with his 2x4 or Triple H with his sledgehammer or whatever it was, but she was, you know, quite aghast that, you know, wrestlers were allowed to bring things into the ring to hit people with, and she asked what it was all about, and I said, well, you know, it just adds a bit of character to you, you know, it gives you an idea of who you are, etc., etc. And as she was watching the TV, she was actually doing the ironing at the same time. And she said, well, has anyone ever brought an iron to the ring? And the proverbial light went off in my head, and I just thought, you know, there you go. That's fantastic.
He was an iron man. And you know what, Doc? When I first saw it, I asked the same question. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is Steve, or this is Nigel, so it's just, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just...
Right.
Do you still carry that thing at all?
No, I destroyed it on this guy's head in Italy, actually. it got, you know, every time I used it in a match, it got more and more beat down, and then it was just, in Italy in, June of last year, it just finally finally gave up the ghost and exploded on impact, which was quite embarrassing. We needed it for later on in the match. But
you see, one of the other things he had as a gimmick, Doc, before he actually had his first matches, he used to run the gimmick table for us at the shows. Mm-hmm. And what was it your T-shirt said? I'm the gimmick man, or?
I said, gimmicks, get them here, I think.
Gimmicks, get them here.
So he's enterprising. He's got something going all the time.
Excellent. I had a question for you. Who were some of your favorites growing up? I know you watched a lot of WWE back in the day. Who were some of your idols and guys that you looked up to?
Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart and Ted DiBiase and Shawn Michaels. That would have been about it, really, I think, you know. Maybe Bulldog as well got in there also. That was it, because I didn't really see any other wrestling other than WWE, you know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm. Before he could work a match, he had taught himself to shoot the prettiest Ricky Steamboat arm drag outside of Ricky Steamboat I'd ever seen. In fact, the Steamboat, the first time Ricky came to our gym, I made eyes with it. I said, show him the arm drag, and Ricky was impressed by it. But he taught himself that. He on your bed, wasn't it, Nige?
Yeah, well, it was actually when I first came down to check out the gym was like 96, and then I had another year and a half of school left before I came back over to start training. And, of course, I was so gung-ho about training that nowhere to train in England at the time. All I did was I got tapes of wrestling, and I remember when we first had that practice, and I just got in the ring, I think it was with Chanel, and we'd lock up, do a hip toss, lock up, do an arm drag, and then lock up and do a body slam. And it was lock up, hip toss, arm drag, body slam, that was it. And I remember because I was so excited, I couldn't even remember what was coming next. I couldn't remember hip toss, arm drag, body slam. I did a hip toss and then get up and go, oh, what's next? But because I couldn't practice a lot of those things with anyone else, I did. And I realized that the arm drag was probably one of the most difficult maneuvers to do because everybody else is having problems with it. Mm. I had a tape of Ricky Steamboat doing that match with Macho Man, and I literally watched it for hours and hours and watched it in slow-mo, got my cushions from the couch down in the lounge and just practiced it again and again until I had it down pat. And then when I first came back to train, you know, it was there from the first day.
Wow.
With me, a lot of the things which people find very difficult, I find, like, very easy. And contrary, in the opposite way as well, things that a lot of people find easy, I find like super difficult.
Yeah, it just depends, I guess. We got some questions from the chat room. Jude says, I have a question for Nigel. Your movements are unusually graceful for a big man. How did you find the balance between grace and power?
And I've never been described as graceful before, although, at least not by a guy. Les used to refer to me as a slow-mo highlight reel. Wasn't that right, Les? Because when I used to, run the ropes, I'd do it, super slow. My timing was just wasn't as quick as a lot of the other guys for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe I was concentrating. But I think a lot of my style of the way I move in the ring comes from watching the old British tapes of guys like Johnny Saint and Steve Gray and Flash Jordan, who, you know, being graceful and making your moves seem, you know, concise was part of being a professional and part of the gimmick, you know what I mean? So I think guys you watch and try and copy, then you subconsciously mimic the way they move in the ring.
You know, you're talking about a big guy, Doc, but when he first came to me, you were what, about 175 pounds?
Yeah,
wow.
178, yeah.
And what do you weigh right now?
Man, I'm probably closer to 215 now because I had food poisoning. I was in hospital for 3 days, then I got the flu on my trip to the King of England. I mean, that whole trip was just something awful, one of the worst trips I've ever had. Apart from the wrestling, just the traveling there and back, you know. And I got flu on the way to England, missed my connection, had to sleep in Washington Airport when, you know, my tonsils were swollen shut pretty much. I couldn't eat anything for a day. So all in all, I lost about 10 or 15 pounds over the process of those.
So you were up around 230, 35 at one
time,
right?
Yeah, I was about 230 before all that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who are some of your favorites to work with in the ring?
Man, I'm going to have to obviously choose a lot of the guys from Ring of Honor. I mean, obviously, like I said, just recently, Rhino was someone that really impressed me, and I was really happy with that match. Dragon, obviously, is someone I've worked with a few times and always brings the best out of me. They always say that you're not going to get better unless you wrestle someone who's better than you. So, generally speaking, my favorite people to wrestle are the ones who are better than me. And it's definitely guys like Dragon, guys like Joe, Christopher Daniels. You know, you always see these guys and you hear people put them over and say they're the best and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until you get into the ring with them that you really appreciate how true that is, you know. Just recently in Australia, I wrestled with Dragon, and you know, if it wasn't for his club feet, then it probably would be one of the greatest ever.
Now, you had a lot of big matches with Samoa Joe. What's he like to wrestle?
Again, he's a lot like Dragon, and he always brings the best out of you. I mean, a lot of the problems with when you're wrestling a match, certainly when it's not in WWE and you don't have TV and $1 million marketing company behind you, is that, you know, if you're out there with somebody who's not really over and the crowd's not reacting to, you know, you've got an uphill struggle.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Joe is obviously he's going to know immediately the second that he steps out of the curtain, he's going to be over. So that's half the problem. All you've got to do is try and keep up with him, try and keep yourself over as well, and you're home free, you know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong, Joe hits hard, kicks hard, you know, he does pretty much everything hard, but he gets a good match out of you, you know what I mean? He forces people to step up, and I would certainly credit a lot of my improvement over the last couple of years to Joe.
Would you rather have it that, let's say the TNA pay-per-view goes well and stuff like that, would you rather have it that that Ring of Honor had a primetime slot on a network like WWE or TNA?
I think that would obviously help with, people seeing the product. But then again, you know, there's a lot of other factors, a lot of other intangibles that, A, I don't really have a great grip on. But B, that can, you know, certainly change that situation, because it's not just a case of how many people see you, you know, it's a case of how much that costs. If those costs become prohibitive to where the company actually starts losing a lot of money, I mean, they don't have a lot of money behind them, you know. They have Kerry, who's already lost a lot of money keeping it afloat. They don't have, you know, like Panda Energy, who are there to just funnel millions upon millions of dollars into it, so going on TV for Ring of Honor could be the end of it, you know. When people look at ECW and how they progressed, a lot of times it was, you know, things that they thought were going to be big steps and move on to the next league actually, you know, became almost like their death knell.
Let me throw something here, Doc.
Ahead.
You know, you're talking about him working with the top guys, and he's saying about how he steps up for them, but I think I'll say it, he won't. He's become one of the guys that you measure a good match by now, too, and I think that a lot of the younger guys come along are thinking, hey, let me work with Nigel McGuinness because he can elevate me. And, I can't not tell you how proud I am of this guy, because he has busted his butt. He's given so much to the business, and he deserves everything he's got. And he's an overnight sensation, and it's only taken him, 9 years, Nigel?
Right, something like that. Yeah.
Nigel, what's coming up next for you? What do you got coming up?
Ring of Honor this weekend. We're in Boston and Philadelphia. Boston, I believe, I'm in a four-way with Chris Hero, Claudio, and I think Mike Quackenbush, which should be a good one. They're all guys that can certainly go. And then on Saturday, I believe I have a mystery opponent who is going to be set up by Larry Sweeney, who I have no idea. As usual with Ring of Honor, I don't know who I'm wrestling until
you get there.
Have you had the chance to work with Davey Richards yet?
We did actually when I was in England in that King of Europe. He was third match of the tour.
Third round.
That match, because I had the chance to, he trained with me down in Charlotte. It's been 2 years ago now, for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that was right after he'd won the Super 8, and he actually hadn't been working that long, and I was impressed. I would imagine you guys had a heck of a match.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was very good, and he's definitely a very talented guy. The trouble was, of course, we had three matches in one night, and he was the second. And it came very quickly after the first match as well, so we didn't We didn't go very long. I think the match only went about 10 minutes, I think, by the end. But the little we did do when we went out there, it was good. It was entertaining, and it's certainly a good sign for the next time we work in the future.
Excellent. Guys, check out more about Nigel at NigelMcGinnis.com. That's McGinnis with two N's and two S's, guys. Nigel, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been great.
No worries at all. It's good. Enjoyed it.
Hey, my friend, when you're up this way and we're in town, please stop and we'll have lunch and talk about wrestling. What else?
I'd love to, Les. And thank you very much for saying all those nice things about you.
Well, you know what? You've earned. You know me. I call a spade a spade, and you've earned it, my friend. I mean, you really have. I'm happy for you, and I'm so proud of have been even a minor part of what you've done. And every time I see that you're stepping up another notch, it's just great. And you've earned it.
Well, thank you.
Nigel, I want to thank you for being on once again. Best of luck to you, my friend.
All right, and you take care, guys. Be safe.
All right, take care, my friend.
Nigel McGinnis on Wrestling Weekly, guys. It's going to wrap things up for this week. Next week, Les.
We got Doug Basham.
We've got Doug Basham.
Another great young talent, really. And he's just recently been in TNA, but he started out in OVW. He's Danny Davis's nephew, actually. And I've known Dougie since he first started in the business, and I look forward to having him.
Absolutely. And I don't know, hopefully we got some good stuff coming up for the website.
Yeah, well,
and for the show.
We're trying to get Kevin Sullivan to talk about this guest booker thing, and he and I go back to the Ice Age, for God's sake, so we'll have a lot of things to kick around too.
Definitely. Keep checking out WrestlingWeekly.com, guys, daily. We'll see you next week. We've got Doug Basham with us. We'll see you, guys.